when I say a witness, I was not in Tiananmen Square. That's another point I want to, I try to make in the book, right? I think the whole world's image about Tiananmen movement is Tiananmen Square. It sounds like that's the case, right? But it's a nationwide movement. It happened in all major cities across country in 1989. And also the second point I try to make, it's not just about the top high-profile leaders, right? There are many people who were also affected by that event. Like for a small potato like me, I was just a teenager. What do I know, right? But I think that those extraordinary days and happening in contemporary Chinese history as a watershed really changed the Chinese society and many of the people's life like mine.
Well, now, one of the people, though, that you interviewed for this book, Wan Don, he was certainly one of the top leaders of the movement.
Exactly. Yeah, he's the number one on the 21 most wanted list. So, and if you have read my book, you'll notice that I did not just interview him, I did not treat him as a high-profile leader. I also approached him just like a human being. I think in the past 25 years, the so-called leaders, right, so or student leaders or dissidents, whatever the government tried to name them, they have been viewed as victims, as heroes, as national traitors. But by the end of the day, I think my book tried to just approach them as ordinary human beings, like any of us. So when I first finished the book, I asked myself, right, I said, so what would be one thing that I feel I should have done, but I did not do in my dissertation? So that's why in the prologue, I have four people who are not leaders in any sense. They were not even exiled by the government, but they were affected personally by 1989, and they chose to exile themselves, so self-exile, including myself, right? So among these four people, for example, Lian Ni, she was a Hong Kong student who went to Beijing to support the student movement, and she was right outside Tiananmen Square. She saw two young boys covered with blood, and she fainted. And when she regained consciousness, people tried to push her into an ambulance. And she struggled like, to get in. She said, I'm not wounded. I don't need an ambulance. And then the second ambulance came, and she struggled like, to get in again. And she said, I told you guys I'm not wounded. I do not need to get into the ambulance. Those people who were wounded need the ambulance. And it was at this point that a female doctor held her hands and said to her in English, not in Mandarin, not in Chinese, but in broken English. And she said, child, we know that you are not wounded, but you're from Hong Kong. You're the only person who can live here now. So we want you to live a life to tell the world what our government did to us tonight.